Welcome back to Normies Like Us, the podcast that reminds you it's hip to be square. War never changes. Listen up, Pip Boys, give us a thumbs up and get ready for the end, because we're leaving our vault to talk all things Fallout. It's the new Amazon Prime series on Normies Like Us. Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
I do this shit for the love of the game.
It's not safe. Give me your gun.
I say you've lost a finger. That won't do at all.
Rule number one, read the manual.
As a person simply trying to de-escalate a conflict, then I'll have to assume of the two of you, you are likely the primary aggressor. In which case, I think everyone in this town would agree the force is justified.
Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs.
You heard it down below? That's right, down in the deepest vault, because we don't want to go up top. We don't want to head into the wasteland when we're talking Fallout, the Amazon series here on Normies Like Us with your hosts, Radioactive Colin.
This is Mike McLean.
And this is Jacob, the Lone Wanderer.
Wow. Well, welcome back, everybody. You know, this is reporting directly from Vault 292, where it's our job to dive into the niche of Normie every week. And this week, we're talking Fallout. So, the TV show, amongst maybe some other things, a little bit.
Why 292?
That's the 292nd episode of Normies Like Us.
Hey!
So, there you go.
What do you know? What do you know?
And I don't know about you guys. I was thinking about this. We got Oppenheimer, two Godzilla movies, and now Fallout. I'm beginning to think the future of mankind is intrinsically linked to the proliferation of nuclear arms.
I think it's okay.
At least we have a primer for the future to get prepared for in this show, you know.
Yeah.
California wasteland. So
that's right. Everything that happens in this show is going to happen in the future. We're talking Fallout on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Exclusively on Prime Video.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos.
We've done a Bethesda episode in the past where we kind of talked broadly, but we haven't done necessarily a Fallout-focused episode, so maybe we could bring people up to speed on our histories with the game that this is, based on.
So weird. Maybe one of our earliest, maybe like the first Jacob like guest on, like back before you were like co-host of this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely one that I would like begged you guys to do, and then you're like, okay, I guess we can do that one and have you on.
Actually, we did
let you rant about Bethesda.
Did we really?
93rd
episode. Many years ago. Yeah.
Almost 100 episodes exactly, and it came out April 14th. So pretty close to the time of this.
Weird.
So not bad. Okay.
I'm excited to repeat all my Fallout stories, except now with TV knowledge.
We did it, and then 200 years later, we're doing it again. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's right. I hope you're frozen in your pod. We're talking Fallout. And, you know, I'm probably the biggest Fallout fan here, if I can say that up top, in terms of fan of the games and the franchise. I've played most Fallout games. I own 1 and 2. I've never really dabbled with them too much, but I do want to at some point. And then I've played 3. New Vegas, 4, 76, know, everything. Fallout Shelter.
Wow. Really? Shelter.
You know, we know how we do.
We're not out here. We're deep underground.
That's right. I enjoy the franchise, and I'm proud to, and I'm happy to say that I think this show was a success. And I'm going to say right up top, this show is the best video game adaptation of all time.
Wow.
And I'll explain why in this episode.
Yeah, so no, that's
great. Hear that.
How were you feeling with the lead up? Did you think it had potential when you were seeing the publicity and stuff as a fan? Were you excited?
I didn't really know. I didn't really know what to expect, but I mean, I was optimistic because I knew it was like Jonathan Nolan, the makers of Westworld, even though I didn't love that show really, so I don't know why that would make me think that this was good, but the first season, right, of Westworld, and then it kind of fell
first
off
two even, but that is dead to me. Cool.
But so I was like, you know, I was looking forward to it, and I think now I know I really feel bad for the Halo fans out there because this show really is what is to Fallout fans. I think what the Halo fans wish the Halo show was. And this is how you do it the right way. So I'll explain more this episode. Yeah.
I think even compared to Last of Us, which is really strong, there is a lot more video game feel to this. And it is, you know, Last of Us was basically a movie that you played anyway. So this is kind of interesting. But Colin, what's your history? Were you excited about this when it was announced? We did have Rings of Power. So I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm a Reacher guy. So, you know, I hang around. I dab with a little Prime. Yeah, I was excited. I probably said in our past 200 years ago episode that I don't have a huge history with this franchise. I played one game. I used to work at a phone center. And this guy who also worked there was named Javier. He was a cool guy talking one day, talking video games. He loved the Fallout series. Hey, man, you got to try this game. I'll bring it for you tomorrow. Brought me Fallout New Vegas. This was back in like 2012 or 2013, where my roommate at the time was dating a girl. He was not around. I was hanging out. Jacob, Mike, you guys, well, you guys were maybe out here, but maybe we weren't hanging out or whatever too much. So I would play like, you know, it was like back in the sit down, play 10 hours of a video game days. So I did like a full weekend, you know, dumped like 20 hours into the bad boy. Monday morning, handed it right back to him, and he said, no, are you like seriously done with this thing? And I was like, no, I'm not done, but like, I think I got it. So it just kind of like never stuck. Like, that's kind of like my New sort Vegas? Of exposure to it. It was New Vegas. And I wonder, I can't remember why I ditched it, but Mike shared a little info in our chat about his experience playing that game where he revealed that, I'll drop this right now, that you can't run in that video game. I have to wonder, I was like, this game is too slow, Jacob. Yeah.
I'm going to lose my mind. First of all, you can run, you can't sprint.
Okay.
So the default speed is like a jog, basically. So you can jog around everywhere, but you can't go faster than like a little jog. But
yeah,
you know, we'll talk about it. I'm excited to get Mike's take.
Yeah.
Hi, zombies. Hi, wasteland people. But just going to jogging by you. How are you?
No, yeah.
I remember trying to play New Vegas a couple of years before. I had this core memory unlocked that I had buried away where I was doing that same mission where like you follow the lady to kill the geckos, and it took so long to walk over there that when that was done, I'm like, this isn't for me, and it happened again. But I'm happy to report, okay, I tried Fallout 4, and I'm wearing my jumpsuit because we're jumpsuit boys now. I played for 15 hours straight.
Wow.
Wow.
I am hooked, and I like Fallout now, and I thought it was going to be a rocky start with going back to New Vegas, but you know what? I think they've done it. I think I'm in. So
well,
that's really cool.
First of all,
you can still New bash Vegas. Me for my New Vegas.
Yeah,
New Vegas is better than 4. I like 4. I played 4. Like I said, I've played all of them. I mean, I like 4. But New Vegas is not only the best Fallout game, it's one of my favorite games of all time. And, you know, if we were drafting favorite games, it might be in my starting 5. Okay.
Wow.
You got to get past the slow movement speed. Okay. First of all, there's mods, okay, you can get mods. Now, of course, the game crashes a lot. It's got a lot of technical difficulties.
The number one game I'm drafting, you have to mod a bunch. You can't, it's not just the game. Okay,
well,
yeah, what an interesting
You can play without, so actually, because of this, because of the show, I've also jumped back into Fallout because I'm like, damn, I want to hit the Mojave Wasteland again. Remember those old times back in the day. So I booted up. First of all, I had a playthrough on Steam, which was a heavily modded playthrough. Eventually, that just stopped working to where I could, every time I tried to play, it would crash. So I was like, damn, I guess I can't play this game anymore. And that's the number one problem with New Vegas is that it was made in 18 months, and it has a lot of technical issues because of that that were never fixed. And it's a product of its time. You know, it came out in 2010, so it's like almost a 15-year-old game at this point. So, you know, you got to give it some, you know, give it some leeway there. But I jump back in because I also have it on Epic Game Store because it wasn't working on Steam. So I'm like, okay, I got it for free on Epic Game Store because it was like the free game of the month. I'm like, let me start up a vanilla playthrough of New Vegas, jump back in. And I played that game all day yesterday, Sunday. And I loved it. I don't care about the movement speed. I was, you know, jogging mm-hmm. through the Mojave Wasteland.
Just taking
had
my
NBA
time.
Playoffs on the
you
second
said
screen.
With a bunch of Vault Boys
I was just
here.
Vibing.
Fallout lovers. Wow.
You know, I was in hog heaven. It was great. I loved
hey,
it.
Hey, man. I'm not going to yuck you. You know, I maybe will go back to it with mods that include running. I am a speed runner, you know. Maybe I was born to run. But I do think there is an issue with having to fix Bethesda games. And even though that's technically a different developer and it was 18 months, mm-hmm. you know, it's a known issue, as Starfield included. It's like,
well, no game's perfect, you know.
No, but those games run. That's all I'm going to say. And to have running in them, hey.
First of all, I like Starfield. Starfield's basically just Fallout 4 in space.
Okay.
I'm probably the only person in the world that likes that game. No.
Seems like.
There's some other ones. But Fallout 4, I enjoy that game. And I could talk at length about why New Vegas is a better game, which I won't do right now. But Fallout 4 does have some good things about it. Better graphics, better gameplay, better gun shooting, not as good RPG elements, not as good writing, main storyline, that kind of thing, player choice.
I kind of asked you guys this in the chat, but it's more geared towards like you make your own vault or something, right? Is the point of
no.
settlements.
You make you build settlements. Okay. Yeah. And that's sort of I did like that, you know, the crafting and building.
It's your number one mechanic, dog. The fact that you're like, nah, not the base building one.
I like that one game too. I put many hours into Fallout 4 back in the day. What I really want more than anything is a modern remake of New Vegas and 3. You could make them as one game, and with even better graphics and gameplay than 4, which came out a decade ago. So that's pretty old at this point. And have the base building mechanic in there, because I love that, the weapon crafting, mods, and all that stuff. But that's what I really want. But the storyline of New Vegas, the writing, the amount of player choice you have, it's just chef's
that's
kiss. There's
heard.
Nothing like it, you know?
Yeah, the dialogue options, I guess, got severely neutered in 4, but I
Bethesda's
thought it was going to bounce off the building, but anyway.
Bethesda's just not as good at writing, and I think that was the problem with Skyrim. They're not good at main storyline quests, you know.
Because
Skyrim, what I like about Skyrim is all the side stuff, not the main storyline. And I think it's the same thing with Fallout 4 and 76. Now 76, if I could talk a little bit about that.
Can't believe you played that. It's a universally disaster, right?
Well, there's been a reappraisal. It's sort of had the No Man's Sky treatment, where they've added so much. It had a disastrous launch. Everyone stopped playing it for the most part, but they've put out like 18 updates since it came out. And it's now like almost a completely different game. So everything I heard about it is that it's actually really good now, and it's almost like a real Fallout game. So they added NPCs.
Okay. So close.
If you didn't know, there was no NPCs on launch. It was just an empty world. They've got NPCs. They've got quests. It's great.
It was just an empty world. Their online video game was just player characters, PC characters.
They're everywhere. Really going hard into the MMO aspect of it.
But MMOs have quests. Anyway, that's the
point of them, Mike. That's crazy.
Right.
But Fallout 4. Look, I don't want to spend too much time. I've already probably ranted up.
No, get the games out. That's the dog one.
Because all of this is technically canon.
I need these. But totally. And I need these updates. Pretend that I am like the norms. I don't know these games. That's the dog one, right? That's the dog meat.
That's the dog one?
Yeah, dog meat. Yeah. I love my dog.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There's a dog in it. Dog meat. Who's in this show. Yeah.
So weird.
So the show takes different references from all the games. But basically... 3, Bethesda bought the property, made Fallout 3, transitioned it from basically 1 and 2 were like the Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 to Baldur's Gate 3. Now, so, you know, it's a different kind of game, top-down CRPG type thing, turn-based combat and all that. Fallout 3, they Bethesda'd it up, right? Then they gave, you know, they gave it to Obsidian to make New Vegas. And then they made Fallout 4. So, and then they made 76.
Why did they do that? Why did they give it away for one?
I don't know. I think they were busy. They were busy making Skyrim, I'm pretty sure.
Let's keep the property alive. Okay.
Yeah but New Vegas was really weird.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it had an 18-month development, which is very quick turnaround for a game like that. Year and a half. So the whole game got built in a year and a half, which is why it had so many technical issues. And then Fallout 4 came out. People were disappointed because the writing just not there. I don't like the voiced protagonist, which is a first for the series, and the dialogue options where it's like, yes with sass, no, and fuck you, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's just not the same. But anyway, I don't want to get too long about the.
But that to be said, you know, New Vegas is seen by the fans to be the best one. 4 is just the most modern, you know, again.
A lot of people.
But think that there's a lot of Fallout 4 in this show. Again, they're referencing from all of them. But considering all of these games take place before the show, because I think we're in 77 and 76 is the last game, right?
That's the thing. Yeah. So if I can. So what I like about this show is it's a adaptation that's in the same canon universe as the games, which I don't know that's ever been done before. I can't think of any examples. Maybe you guys can, but it exists within the same canon as all the games.
Right.
And so you have something like The Last of Us. That's a direct adaptation of The Last of Us 1, the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is an original story set within the world of Fallout that connects to all the other games in interesting ways. And that's why I think it's the most successful adaptation of a video game ever. And it nails the tone so well that, I think it's the most successful ever.
Maybe we can.
Yeah, I think because they keep the old canon, you know, holy and sacred and still kind of do their own thing while staying true to the theme. So maybe it's time we open up this vault, head out into the wasteland and talk about this new Amazon series, potentially the greatest video game show ever made. I'm going to stand in for Fallout.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start.
We're back here on Normies Like Us, just a couple of Fallout boys giving you the thumbs up, letting you know we are in a safe distance to keep talking Fallout, the series, the Amazon Prime series. That's what we're here to talk about today. 8 episodes, 10 episodes, what the hell was it?
8 episodes. Eight. And first of all, I don't like, and I've said this before, you guys probably agree with me, this release schedule of dropping all the episodes at one time. Now, we've talked about it many times before. I'm not a fan of this binge watch delivery method. Imagine if, you know, imagine if Shogun, if they dropped the whole season of Shogun all at once, we weren't watching week to week going like, oh man, what a crazy episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
people wouldn't be talking about it, Jacob. People wouldn't be talking about it. It's in particular, what you're calling out is what I want to call the Amazon shell game too. The difference that they do, because obviously Netflix invented the drop it all at once, it seems like, right, in the pop culture way, where now they've leaned towards the split of the, oh, we'll get you, and then a month later, the rest of the season, wink, wink, we dropped it all. Mm-hmm. Amazon, they do the interesting thing, Jacob. The first season is always all at once, like The Boys is, and then they go to the weekly model to fuck with you to go, you're hooked now. They did that for Reacher, too. I don't know.
Interesting.
I feel like it just kills a lot of the momentum of, and I think this show has been getting a lot of buzz and people are enjoying it. And a lot of people are going to play the video games based on watching this show. But I think it would have more sustained relevance in the pop culture sort of zeitgeist if it was like spaced out week to week, like all television has been since television was invented, basically.
I mean, that's why Lost worked, right? Water cooler show. What the hell is going to happen next week? But I can see that where, like, I didn't have any expectation for the show because I was like, I never played a Fallout. I, like, New Vegas for like 30 minutes, and I was like, not for me, dog. And then I heard that 76 was doing bad, and I apologize, but I'm speaking my truth. So then when this came out, and it was so good, like I did binge through it, but I would have been here week to week, and it would have been cool to start Fallout 4, and then every week I see stuff that I recognize as I'm playing the game more and becoming more of a fan of the series. That would have been cool, because I that see was, so yeah, much in retrospect that I recognize from the show, and I wish I would have had more experience.
It just fosters conversation in a better way. Like the fact that you, like we just said with Shogun, like week to week we text each other, what happened in Shogun? Or you go mm-hmm. online and you read these articles on these aggregate sites that are like, let's tell you what happened in Shogun. When mm-hmm. Fallout drops on one day, I go to YouTube that day and somebody just goes, here was every Easter egg in the show. I'm going to talk about the finale. Here's what I want next season. You're like, oh, it's done then. Like, that's yep. the whole, like, that's yeah. the end chapter for discussion.
I mean, we're talking over. About the whole series, and it just dropped, like, a week and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
And I guess people want to binge it, but, like, I didn't binge the show. You know, I would watch, like, an episode a night for the past week because I was like, I didn't have really the time to binge it. And I wanted to mm-hmm. take it all in before this episode, obviously. But I was really struggling to watch the entire season before we talked about this, just due to the lack okay. of time. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think I did like three a day or, you know, something like that. We eventually got through it, but I agree. Weekly should be a thing. We've talked about this before. Like, it does just kill the social media momentum for this stuff when it's just one and done.
Yeah.
Algorithms like repeat customers, and you don't have any when you drop it once a week.
No.
But I do think this show was successful in adapting Fallout, like I said, and I think mm-hmm. it works both for the hardcore fans like me, and I'm not the hardest of corest of fans, but I know a little about the lore, and I see all the references, and I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, Brotherhood of Steel, NCR, okay, I see what we're doing. And it works on that level, and it also works on the level of if you've never heard of Fallout, never played a Fallout game or anything, you can still go into the series and enjoy it for what it is and still have a good time. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I'm going to also say spoilers for the show. And I think the way it does that is having three different and pretty much equally interesting protagonists, maybe one of them slightly less, but you have three different point of view characters that are showing very different parts of the wasteland and the way you interact with it, with the ghoul, yeah. Maximus and Lucy. Like, she's naive, he kind of is this Brotherhood of Steel thing, and the ghoul like has mastered it, so you get everybody's perspective, and it helps introduce the audience to all the aspects, and I think that was really smart.
True. And they do tell an original story. It borrows certain plot elements from the different games, like I said, sort of in an interesting way, where it's like, oh, she has to go, you know, you start in the vault. It's funny because it starts a lot like a Fallout game would start, yes. where you're growing up in the vault. It's very similar to Fallout 3. You basically Fallout 3, you start in the vault, you grow up, you build your character and everything. And then when you turn 18, your dad goes missing in the wasteland and you have to go find your dad, the overseer.
Oh, it's exactly like it. Are you fucking wow. kidding me? That's crazy.
Yeah, but it differs from there. But it takes that element from right. Fallout 3. Your dad voiced by Liam Neeson.
Well, he gets
no
taken
way in Fallout 3. Is that yeah. true?
He gets taken.
He gets taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacob, can I just say too, yeah. in the opening scene for her, she's listing, and I noticed this when I started before, it's like the stats. She's like, my science skills, I have repair skills, I've taken yeah. riflery, like these are my perks and skill sets that I've specced into.
That's what I mean. There's so many references, yeah. not just like it's visual subtle. References to the games, but like the act of playing the game feels like it's referenced so much. Like when the ghoul says at a certain point, you know, up here in the wasteland, we have our own golden rule. You always get sidetracked by a bunch of bullshit. That feels like a direct reference to the games where you always mm-hmm. get sidetracked by a bunch of side content and yep. you don't stick to the main story mission, which is yeah. what I do in every Bethesda game.
Same. I was struggling. Yeah, the way they represented gameplay elements, like even VATS, like they just subtly do like a slow-mo shot and somebody like in some of these action scenes in the VATS sure. combat system. It's like they're really doing a good job of integrating the gameplay elements into the story in like a pretty yeah. streamlined way.
And a VATS, if you don't know what that is, normies, it's interesting because from Fallout 3 to, you know, through 76, it basically started as an RPG with some shooting elements and transitioned to a shooting game with some RPG elements mm-hmm. over time as they sort of normified it. And that's kind of, as much as I like Fallout 4, I think it's a fine game. It really took away a lot of the RPG elements, made it more of a shooter. Had the best shooting of the series, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But you know, they streamlined how you make your character and the perks and skill tree and everything. So it's interesting, but you know, that's a whole debate about games.
But you do see people in the show trying to make, let's say, a persuasion or a speech check, like say to get a discount on that part. Maximus is like, "Hey, can you do four caps?" And he fails, and then he has to go get more money. Like that's so smart.
And the VATS is obviously truly, it is a slow motion shootout when they go up against the cannibals. You are fucking opening my eyes on these RPG elements here. That's very cool.
I wasn't aware until I played it, though. And then it all hit me like, wow, this is super strong. Yeah,
that's true. And VATS, basically VATS is where you can, as an element of the earlier RPG games, they didn't have great FPS shooting mechanics yet. Which is the big problem with Fallout 3 specifically. Like, it gets a little better in New Vegas, but to counteract that, they have this thing called VATS where you can basically slow down time and target certain parts of the body where you have a certain percentage to hit them. And that became like a style of play. If you didn't want to always just do real time shooting, you could go into VATS and, you know, kill people that way.
And did that influence like the Red Dead, Dead Aim, kind of like that slow-mo stuff? It feels very similar vibes,
probably,
right?
Yeah. I think games have been trying a long time to sort of make a realistic way that you can slow down time to make it, you know, easier for a video game so you can target, you know, people, but still have it be realistic, I guess.
Well, you just think about how awkward it's always been in like Dungeons and Dragons to like shoot arrows, or, you know, there's not like really like a shooting machine gun RPG game. Like, it is hard to like, now stop, roll. What did you target? Like, what do you, it's like, it's so awkward. Yeah.
That's where those RPG elements come in, where it's like, okay, you have a 60% chance to hit the body, but only a 30% chance to hit the head. So you can try to hit the head for more damage, or you can hit the body for a safer shot but less damage,
right
but so Fallout 4 changed that all by adding the best shooting so far in the franchise. You can still use VATS, but it becomes less and less important over time,
and you have less creative way, like it's harder to talk your way out of situations, I guess, in 4. But you know, that's for neither here nor there, but capturing the elements as well as they did is what's praised. And I think maybe we could talk about our three characters and kind of what they're all about, starting with Lucy.
Absolutely.
If that's okie dokie with you guys.
That's okie dokie with me.
Okay.
So the vaults, I should say up top, the vaults in the game, it's interesting because they kind of go that into this in the show by the end of it, where you revealed of like what's really going on with Vault-Tec and everything. But essentially how the vaults are portrayed in the games is like every vault has their own social experiment going on, like their own weird thing about it. And you see that at the end of the show where they're in that board meeting talking about it. So every vault in the game has like its own lore, its own weird way of like making a civilization and something weird about it.
And some of them are really sinister and fucked up too. Like Lucy is lucky to be in this naive one. Like that's her experiment.
She's in a pretty good vault.
And
yeah.
It's the experiment. And again, spoilers for the whole series, is that it's just shared breeding between another vault? Is that what's going on for them? Or
this, I feel like this vault plotline in the show was like the most confusing, maybe to most people. But basically, well, obviously spoilers. But this other vault 31 was like all these people from the before times were frozen in these pods and were woken up at different intervals to become overseers of this other vault because they're management. And they all worked for Vault-Tec before the bombs
for years, 50, hundreds, you know, just years, you would imagine, right?
Like 200 years they've been doing this with different leadership, I guess, rotating in and out.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see how Lucy and the ghoul all kind of tie into what was going on before the war, right?
Which again is pretty brilliant. But with Lucy's thing, they're pretty much just, we're maintaining civilization. That's the lie they've been told. Like, we're going to be super civil, super nice. We're going to be like the best people, which is a great point of view for Lucy when she goes to the wasteland. Because by the end of the show, it's like a person playing the game for the first time where like she's all happy-go-lucky and then she gets beaten down and kind of reality hits her in the face and you become a hardened warrior by the end.
Exactly. Yeah.
Flat Earth, round Earth, where do we land on up here?
Yeah.
She grew up in this closed-off society underground without knowing what's on the surface, then goes up to the surface for the first time. And this is just like the beginning of Fallout 3. You go out to the wasteland for the first time and you see the whole open world in front of you. And you're like, oh, you can go in any direction. Shot. Yeah.
Skyrim does it, all the Elder Scrolls. Yep. Classic.
Yeah.
So this is Lucy, our protagonist. This is Ella Purnell, a British actress who I watched an interview. Straight up a Cockney voice, like the fact that she's doing this like okie dokie, you know, very like, you know, middle American, and saying things like, we have to rebuild the Americas, we got to do it for America. I mean, it's very convincing.
Yeah, all these damn Brits coming over here taking our American acting jobs.
Spider-Man's right. American, damn it.
Andrew Garfield, go back to your island.
He is from that. I sent you guys a picture earlier. It's funny that you said that thing about how bad Halo is, Jacob, but of all the perfect video game adaptations, and then Halo being like the bad one in there. Yeah. Ella Purnell also part of that League of Legends one, whatever that one's called. I've never seen that one before. No, Arcane.
People like that.
I've never played nor seen.
The problem with Halo, to compare Halo show to this show could have done what Halo did, where it's like this weird alternate universe where some characters exist, but they die at different times than they did in the Halo lore. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just, you know, it's Halo in name only, but it has the Master Chief, but it's like different events happen in different, you know, ways. This show is like, no, we're going to be set in the Fallout world. We're just going to tell our own story, and we're going to borrow some things from the games, and it's going to overlap at some points with the games, but it's not going to affect the lore of the games or change it. It's going to do its own thing. It's going to be faithful to the adaptation while making an original story. And that's why I like it so much.
And who knows, maybe the next Fallout game will have, it'll be put set after this. We might get some of these characters or events being referenced in that game, which would be kind of interesting.
Well, like I said,
never been done before.
Yeah. I saw a pretty cool criticism of this series, Mike, where people said, well, this is the next Fallout game. This is Fallout 5. Now they need to start working on Fallout 6. I was like, oh, that's cool. I like that.
Well, it's interesting because I would also say this has better writing than like pretty much any of the Fallout games, which is like TV writers versus game writers, different development cycles, that kind of thing. But like, if this plot was the plot of a Fallout game, it would probably be the best Fallout game because the writing is so good, in my opinion, in the series. And it improves on some of the games.
I was extremely impressed. I also want to shout out, I thought when she left the vault that was the last we were going to see of it, but we do get to see this mystery intrigue stuff with people are calling Norm Stealth Build McLean, at least on Al-Ghaib, you know? He's our little guy.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I didn't expect it. Mike, I'm kind of with Jacob in that I kind of thought that was the weakest element. It doesn't serve any narrative purpose. It's not like the information that's obtained by Norm at the end is in any way transferred to Lucy at the end.
Yeah.
She comes to literally all the same conclusions by hearing it from the horse's mouth in literally the last scene.
Yeah.
They learn it at the same time, but it doesn't affect each other's thing. Yeah.
This was my biggest critique.
Cost saving, you know, it's cheap to shoot down in the vault, you would have to imagine, right?
Maybe, yeah. My biggest critique of the show was the vault stuff, because I felt like the mystery was kind of drawn out, and they felt like they had to keep cutting back to what was going on in the vault, when I was like, what's happening on the surface with Lucy and Maximus is much more interesting, and every time they cut back to the vault,
the ghoul. I was like, do not leave the ghoul.
No, give me Norm.
But I understand they had to keep coming back to establish these various vault characters. And I also think that the vault mystery is less mysterious if you already know about the vaults in the game. So like, if you're a fan of the games, it's less interesting maybe, but to a normie that's like, you don't really know what's going on. Like, I already knew kind of what the reveal was going to be from playing the game. So I'm like, you know, it's less interesting.
Well, you can at least assume it's sinister, because you know that it would have to be, because if you're in a vault, it's sinister. Yeah.
And they spell it out pretty well, that these games have pretty much always been about how capitalism caused the end of the world. And which is funny that this hasn't been getting any go woke, go broke kind of backlash, because it very much spells it out, like in those flashback scenes, right? What Vault-Tec and all these other companies were doing basically caused the nuclear war that caused the end of the world. And Vault-Tec was behind it the whole time. They had that whole plan.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. It stars a woman, it stars a black guy, and it stars a guy who gets called a communist pinko. And I have not heard any complaints about this series, Jacob. That is kind of magical.
It has a big plot line about communism in the 50s and with the Cooper Howard character being an actor. And of course, HUAC going on at the time, all these actors getting caught up, you know, going to communist meetings and stuff like that. And he gets convinced to kind of go to one of these meetings. But we learn out this woman is, maybe part of the NCR, the New California Republic, is the big reveal, which if you play New Vegas, that's pretty interesting reveal.
Completely insane. And let's shout out that that Cooper character is, spoiler, the ghoul, but is Walton Goggins, the actor in this, who I try to watch anything with Walton Goggins in it. That's how I knew I would like this show.
Walton Goggins is great in everything. His first breakout role was in The Shield.
Oh, that's right. You love The Shield. So, of course, you love
Walton love the Goggins. Shield.
I always forget you love The Shield.
The Shield is a great show. It was from the era of, like, The Wire and The Sopranos, those 2000s shows, but it was a little bit underlooked compared to those other ones.
He's like Michael Chiklis' best friend. He's like the co-lead guy, right? That's so funny.
And it was his big breakout. Then he had... what was that? He was like in a cowboy show with like
Justified. I watch him in that stuff. Yeah, that's how I know him.
I saw him in Sons of Anarchy.
Sure.
Sons of Anarchy.
Just a veteran TV guy. I mean, he deserves
Well, fun success. Fact with Sons of Anarchy, that was created by a guy who wrote for The Shield. So it has a lot of the same actors that come back from The Shield in Sons of Anarchy. So
there interesting. You go. Yeah, shout out Walton Goggins. I think he's crushing this role. The people are thirsting all over the ghoul. I don't know if I'm one of them in that camp, but I think his performance is great. And I like his character arc of being a cowboy movie actor who ends up being the spokesperson for Vault-Tec, who then ends up like paying the ultimate price and living the shittiest wasteland life
ever. Yeah.
The fact that he was so tied into the origin of like this whole universe was like really well done reveal, I think, in the show where I'm like, damn, that's why I think the plot of this series is better than any of the games potentially.
Yeah. That's cool.
But also shout out. Oh, sorry. The Righteous Gemstones. I want to shout out Walton Goggins' role in that as well. If you haven't seen that.
Uncle Baby Billy, the greatest character of all time.
Yes.
This maybe leads into a bigger discussion about practical effects on this show. Mm. But how about the makeup work? I mean, the fact that they really do try to make the aesthetic of the ghoul translate to television well, dude.
What are you looking at? Smooth skin?
Mm-hmm. No, I think he looks great.
Weird. Smooth skins.
Weird. I like it.
The Ferengis called us pink skins. I think I prefer smooth, but you know.
The way they portray ghouls and ghouls versus feral ghouls in the transition to becoming a feral ghoul is also really well done. And that's a big part of the game where basically if you don't get your anti-radiation medicine regularly, you turn into a feral ghoul, which is basically a zombie.
You can play as a feral ghoul.
No, you can't in the games, but you meet a lot of ghoul characters. Like ghouls are just like normal people. They just look like that, right? But they talk
and get their shots.
Yeah. But if you become feral, that's when you basically lose your mind.
Is it like because you know, that opening sequence is so incredible. The bombs dropping, him watching, running away on the horse. But is it that like, well, I guess we see later that the doctor, I was just like, it's not that you're just so exposed to the bomb. Is that what makes you a ghoul, I guess?
I think, yeah, you become so irradiated that you just turn into a ghoul. And I'm not a lore expert, but I guess apparently according to the show, you can get turned like the Johnny Pemberton character gets turned into a ghoul where he can heal any injury, which I'm not super familiar with. That's how ghouls work, but apparently maybe that's how it is. So
I don't know. But they did a good job of establishing like what Radaway is and does, because I didn't play the game. And then when I got to the game, I'm like, oh, that's the thing. Okay. Yeah.
Again, the references, the visual references are off the chart. Like everything in this series, it looks faithful to what it looks like in the games. And like just random name drops of like Blamco mac and cheese is like a food item that you can get in the game. Like all these, when he gets that gift basket in the vault, and all you see all those things, like those are all things from the game, and like stim packs, Radaway, like It all looks like looks like in the game. It's insane.
Well, how about the big one, the Pip-Boy? I mean, Pip-Boy just looked incredible. The actual aesthetics and 50s
the sound effects,
sci-fi,
the UI, like it's all faithful. The UI of computer screens, the music drops, like all the needle drops and stuff. The famous 10mm pistol that she gains at some point is like, that's the pistol that you can get in the game. Like, it's insane. I'm telling you, it's insane.
Yeah, and the music was lost on me. Like, I liked all the new, like, I knew it had that kind of older music, but playing Fallout 4, listening to the radio, I'm like, holy shit, it is just that. It is crazy.
You can literally get radio stations on your Pip-Boy that you can turn on while you're walking around the wasteland and just listen to some
Fred Armisen tunes, is the DJ. What a nice little surprise.
Yeah. There. You know, yeah, I got Spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. I listen to that all the time, walking the wasteland.
That's wild.
I don't want to set the world on fire. You know, that's straight out of the game. So they nailed it with the music too. What a show.
Yeah, the ghoul's representing the person who's been in the shit forever, and he kind of knows his way around, and that it's a cutthroat world, right? And then who's the number three? Maximus. We have Brotherhood of Steel, who's kind of, if Lucy's, you know, like kind of gung-ho, he's gung-no.
Yeah,
you know, he's very timid, but he's in the Brotherhood of Steel, which is the irony. He is not steel. He is not forged.
So he's sort of an interesting character because he's kind of like not that smart. Like he just keeps doing dumb things but he's very pessimistic. And, you know, he grew up in the wasteland, so he's very cautious as anyone
raised
would
in a cult, though. Maybe not bred to be smart, you could say, right?
The Brotherhood of Steel.
He was saved by the Brotherhood of Steel and was taken in by them.
Very much so.
Brotherhood of Steel is a big faction in the games, and they're sort of portrayed differently for each game, but basically they are a cult that's obsessed with pre-war technology. So they're hoarding all this pre-war technology, and they can be either seen as sort of heroes or kind of assholes that just kind of are like isolationist, but they have the power armor and stuff, and that's probably the most aesthetically iconic thing about them.
How do you guys think the power armor looked in this? I mean,
it looked good. I've never, as a Fallout player, I've never leaned into the power armor kind of build. Like, I'm more of a, you know, the high plains drifter with my six shooter and my cowboy hat, you know, going around blasting people. So I stay away from the Brotherhood of Steel.
You're a fucking ghoul.
Are you a little ghoul, yeah.
You're a little
That's
ghoul.
Why I love the Walton Goggins character. I'm like, that's how I play Fallout, basically.
Yeah. Right.
I watched video, Mike. It's fucking, it's a huge puppet. I mean, it is like a huge, like, you know, mascot puppet outfit, basically. And they built, you know, like 10, 20 of them for those scenes where all the brothers are together at the end. I thought they looked fucking amazing.
Like, thanks for the practical effects, guys. Like you were leading to earlier, like the sets that they built. And again, the attention to detail Jacob's throwing out there. I just got to Diamond City and that little town they're in Fallout 4. I'm like, this looks like aesthetically, it's not the same town, but it's like, this is the vibe. Like they captured it perfectly.
That's cool.
I was wondering what that's supposed to be because it's not like Philadelphia because they're in California in the show.
Oh,
it's
the called town Philly. Was called Philly.
It's like Filly in the show. So I don't know what that's supposed to represent.
Anybody knows what that is in California? Yeah. Huh.
Obviously, at the end, they're at the Griffith Observatory, which is the NCR headquarters. Classic,
when you see the map in the big twist reveal of the boardroom of where all the vaults are, California had a ton. We might have been okay, guys.
True.
We could have gotten into one of those vaults. I don't know.
Well, again, this is where it sort of leans into the New Vegas stuff because New Vegas, Nevada, obviously is close to California, and there's a lot of NCR lore and stuff explained in New Vegas. So the New California Republic, the other big faction in the show, or one of the other ones, is sort of a government that's come along, and they're portrayed in New Vegas. They're like a very bureaucratic government that just wants to take everything over and like make things how they were before the war, basically trying to bring America back. But they're at war with various factions like the Brotherhood of Steel. They don't really get along with them too well. And Caesar's Legion, which we haven't seen in the show yet.
That
Legion,
sounds cool.
That'll be interesting. But the NCR, I was blown away when they introduced them. And like, so when they go down in that vault, the second vault that we see, and she goes in the classroom and she's like learning about like Shady Sands and all that stuff. And she looks at the NCR flag, which is the the California flag with the bear with two heads on it.
Right.
Another iconic thing from Fallout.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And when she looks at that flag, the theme from Fallout 4 plays. That's the song that's playing.
Oh, that's that scene. Wild.
And mm-hmm. I was losing my mind. I was like, this is fucking awesome. So
there's a lot of good Easter eggs in this show that I'm just not privy to.
A ton. If you're a hardcore fan, like, you're going to notice stuff in like every shot of like, that's from the game. That's from the game.
Leonardo meme right now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, with my Nuka Cola, you know,
Nuka Cola, Sunset, Sarsaparilla.
Nice.
Man.
Yep.
They go to the gas station from Fallout 4.
Rocket.
It's fucking insane. Yeah. So,
and that's where you meet the dog in the game, and that's where they meet the dog in the show.
Dog meat, which they call him dog meat in the show. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's the same dog.
He goes on to be the dog. Okay. That's
well, this show takes place after all of the games in the timeline, which is kind of confusing because fans were like, does this like break the canon of New Vegas? Because so basically Shady Sands, which is that city in the show that they're talking about, which was New California Republic, established this capital city of Shady Sands. Mm-hmm. In the games, in the show, we see that it's been destroyed. Mm-hmm. That was not canon, and that was not known in the games until this show. So mm-hmm. It's adding to the lore of the show. Yeah,
that's interesting.
And I think it's implied that's where Maximus is from. He was a kid when that happened.
Right.
That's why he was like, "What? The bombs were only like 15 years ago, not 200." It's like, whoa.
Yeah. So we know basically after the end of New Vegas, the NCR kind of gets dooskied from Shady Sands. They get blown up, which is interesting because obviously you can end. There's a lot of different endings based on the choices you make in the game. So what is really the canon ending?
To one.
Like, you can side with the NCR, you can side with Caesar's Legion, you can do the independent route, or you can side with Mr. House. So basically, you're fighting over control of the Hoover Dam in New Vegas, because whoever has the Hoover Dam has the ability to control energy, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
In the same way that this show is about energy control.
Yeah.
So they really are sort of picking, and yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Huh. But it's full of reference even to like Fallout 1. The main plot in Fallout 1 is you have to get a new water chip for your vault. And they mentioned there's that scene where they're talking about the water chip in the vault has been destroyed. That's like a direct reference to Fallout 1.
And it looks like the one from the game, the prop they made.
Yeah.
It's like a one-to-one of...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So there's just so many little details like that. Like, I could go on for
hours. Here's what I saw again, a very positive criticism was, this is someone didn't want to adapt their story inside the show they're adapting, like The Witcher, you might say. It is literally somebody wanting to make a Fallout story in Fallout. So that's it sounds in line to how you're just enjoying it so much,
Jake. This is literally what the fans want. And it's like, I don't know how they keep messing it up, like with The Witcher, Halo, these shows where they're like, we're going to take the aesthetics and certain names of things from this IP, but we're going to change the story completely and make our own story.
Well, I finally get to run a show. I've been a writer for so long. It's been my dream. Well, yeah, sure, I got to write the Fallout show, but it's always been my dream to write a show about a grandmother who's sick and has to get her medicine. And you're like, well, I mean, that's not, you know, and yeah, there is, you know, there's a skill and maybe, intact to it.
And I think maybe they had more leeway with this because obviously Fallout, they're not adapting a single game or anything. Like Fallout
is
a brand.
There's no hero to honor.
It's a universe.
It's not, Kratos.
And every time when you're the main character, that's not really a character they can adapt because it's whoever you want it to be, basically.
They're the Lara Croft kind of figure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Although I've seen a lot of people being like, how does my Lucy build look? Am I getting close? So that's always fun. I don't know.
That's something I want to ask you guys, actually, because you were talking about how Maximus makes bad decisions sometimes. And, you know, the pool is how you would play. Like, vaguely, like, what are kind of the stats? Because Maximus is low intelligence. That's the point, right? Like, he's a low intelligence build, right?
Well, famously, the Fallout stats are special, right? Strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, luck.
Special. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm a fool. Yes.
Well, I'm thinking the Squire, Johnny Pemberton, 10 in luck. Like, you're just kind of like, you know, like he is surviving at the end of the day. I don't know.
Spending 10 days not encountering anybody by himself, vulnerable. Yeah, that's pretty lucky.
I have a feeling I would be tricked into being turned into a ghoul, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I would be that crazy doctor. I don't know.
Yeah. Having a high luck build is actually a good route to go. Like, in New Vegas, you can literally go to the strip, and if you have a high luck, you can play like blackjack, and you have a higher chance of winning because you have a higher luck, and you can make money that way. So it's a viable build.
Well, in Fallout 4, I did create a high luck, low intelligence character. Just I was randomly like, I just want to get accidentally succeed. But you have better chance to succeed on some perks with luck if your intelligence is low, which I think is very funny.
You're just cool.
Whoops. Yeah. You know, like, it's
also in certain games, if you have like a low intelligence build, you can get certain dialogue, like you get unique dialogue options because you're like a dummy.
Which I think Maximus gets those.
Yeah.
Well, he says the thing about penis exploding. I mean, it's maybe the best line in the whole thing is when she says, "Do you want to have sex?" He's like, "Well, here's the
thing. Cock explode?
I know all about that. I don't do that. I'm normal." And she's like, "No, it's actually normal to do that." And the look on his face. And then later when he says, "Do you want to fuck now?"
Yeah.
Well, he grew up so in like this all either all male or like heavily male society, the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah.
He was kind of secluded, didn't learn about sex.
Yeah, by priests basically being told, "Don't touch your dick."
Yeah. All we do is look for artifacts and fucking sub, okay?
I'm dying for a toaster. A toaster, do you even know what that does?
Yeah, dude. Seriously, that's a good point too. Like, pointing out kind of the illogical, like logical fallacies of the universe too. Like Jacob said, getting sidetracked, or I'm dying for a toaster. It's like, yeah, there's some weird stuff with these games that are they don't make
I mean, truly
sense.
Maximus has the best line in the whole show, and I think there's a reason they built the big trailer around it of everybody wants to save the world. They just disagree on how. The fact that it is these factions all against each other.
Yeah.
This, you know, and the ghoul saying it's not chaos. Somebody has control of this thing. I mean, this is such a great send up of, you know, even at the fucking end of the world, somebody's going to make sure that your life is fucking terrible so they can make a dollar off you. And it's like, this is like such a fucking nightmare for me.
That's sort of a reoccurring theme with the Fallout games is like, there's always a couple different factions that each have their own ideas about how to save the world or whatever. Like in New Vegas, you have NCR or Caesar's Legion. Caesar's Legion is like another cult that's basically started of like some guy being like, "Hey, the Roman Empire was like a good way to have a civilization. Okay, let's try."
I'm against them now. I disagree. Do not join them.
And they're like slavers, and they like crucify people and stuff, and they're very brutal. But it's funny though because the Caesar guy calls himself Kaiser because he doesn't know. He's never heard how Caesar was properly pronounced, so it's Kaiser's Legion. Yeah,
sure.
Because it's 200 years after the end of the world.
Sure, they're just finding the books.
Yeah,
I've only read it. I've never heard it. Yeah, Kaiser.
Right, looks like Kaiser to me. But NCR, by comparison, they're pretty normal. They're just very bureaucratic, and they want to essentially establish like a democratic society, like we had pre-war. But then there's other people that are like, "No, we want to be like, we want to live like savages, you know, Mad Max style." Flash, bam, Alakazam, out of an orange colored sky.
I guess I do also want to appreciate that, like, all three of these main characters, they like get what they want. But it's like monkey paw, right? Like Walton Goggins is like, "I just want a ranch and to be a cowboy." Well, guess what? You're a cowboy now, but it's in the wasteland. "I just want to find my dad." Well, guess what? You're gonna, but you're not gonna like it.
Bad answers.
You're gonna be a knight. Yeah. Guess what? It's gonna suck.
Yeah.
You know? So
it sucks to be a knight.
And how they're all tied into the central mystery is like very well, like the way it all reveals in the last episode, I thought was like pretty brilliant to me because I was like, damn, that's how they're all tying it together. And like, the ghoul character to me was my favorite because I was like, his stuff with the flashbacks was so interesting, and his wife and everything. And he's just been alive that whole time. And then, of course, the Kyle MacLachlan of it all, the Lucy's dad, What did you guys think of this reveal?
I was in Mike. He's back in the desert dropping nukes. Oh no.
That's right.
I was extremely disappointed by the CGI. I didn't think that needed to occur.
Oh, you mean the digitally de-aged?
Yes, I found that to be absolutely absurd. Yeah. Obviously, they needed to like hit the point home as hard as possible. This is the same guy. You really can't do that with like makeup or name or just like acting. So I fully get it. I think it just looked terrible, but it was fine. I kind of thought it was super obvious, obviously from the first episode that, you know, you're literally that the evil woman's like, you know, you don't know your father. You need to awaken to a bigger world than you. I was like, well, that's probably not a good sign. But again, I thought it was fine and well executed for sure.
Mm, yeah. I agree on execution.
Yeah. And Kyle MacLachlan seeing that board meeting of like all those different companies like Repcon, Robco, Big MT, like again, those are all references to the game. I was like, damn, all these companies fucking working together, capitalism, trying to make a buck off the end of the world.
Classic. But attention to detail with that Kyle MacLachlan plotline. I rewatched like the opening scene to pull some footage for this episode. And then like when she's explaining, I like going for walks and watches movies with my dad, and they're watching watching a Cooper Howard movie, and that it's like so subtle. It's like, oh, because he's a Cooper Howard fan, that's why he wanted to get him for the commercial. Like, yeah, the way they tie everyone together is really smart.
They keep saying, God, if Cooper was here, he would be so happy. He loves your movies. They say that like a Hank instead of Henry.
Henry McClane. And realizing that Cooper Howard is the original Vault Boy, like he was canonically, like basically that. You know, character of the guy with the thumbs up, he's based off of that commercial, right? So he was the first Vault Boy.
Right.
Yeah. So it all ties together. And I like how he's still wearing his costume from his cowboy days as a ghoul. But he's just a real cowboy now, basically.
Yeah, it's amazing like theming, and again, to tie in your A, B, and C plots, like that feels organic. Like, wow, you know, and I care about all these characters by the end of it. Like, I want,
and they keep,
you know, I want everyone to be
happy. They all run into each other at different points in the wasteland, but it doesn't feel like it's forced. Like, they kind of just end up where they need to be.
Again, when I'm kind of criticizing cutting back to the basement vault stuff, it's the disconnect, you know, the power of the flashbacks with Walton Goggins. Let alone the fact that it's unraveling the mystery we're interested in, is when he walks out in that vault outfit in the black and white era, you know, in the past, that is shocking to you as a viewer knowing where that's going. It's, again, narratively tying so many things together, setting your expectations up. Incredibly well written. I would again shout out.
Yeah. Mm.
If the vault stuff is your weakest link, it's a pretty good weak link to have still. Like, it's maybe not the best, but it's better half than a star lot of bad stuff. Yeah.
I'll do just again, because I'm not as hot on it as Jacob is. I'll knock one more half star off and do this 4 out of 5. And here's what it is. And I'll just point this out for any viewers that might be in the same boat as me. I am a bit of a doomsdayist. So when I'm going through like a bit of like bad mental health stuff, truly watching that opening scene of like multiple nukes going off in the state of this world, I could see how this would just be a very upsetting show to watch.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, the original Fallout, you know, it was based on Mad Max, obviously. Mm-hmm. And another movie that Colin, I know you and I have seen and are fans of, A Boy and His Dog, right? That classic movie. Great.
Don Johnson.
Cooper Howard did that movie in this.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's sort of
that's
a reference poster to that, I think, A Man and His Dog. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But if you remember in A Boy and His Dog, the underground society that they go to that's like super weird, like that was kind of the original inspiration for the vaults, right?
That's funny.
So they've got that post-apocalyptic aesthetic, but I think the show nails the tone of the series where it's like, it can be really goofy and comedic at times, but it's also very serious, and you're dealing with like people dying, obviously, and the end of the world. And like, you know, there's a lot of serious dark stuff here, but it's also a lot of comedic stuff. And I think they nail that tone because the tone can kind of be all over the place a lot of times. I think they do a good job of making it all sort of make sense and fit together.
To run the spectrum of those emotions where, like, you get an okie-dokie and then, like, graphic gore, broken foot and shit, or head exploding. It's like, how do you balance that tone? And somehow they find a way to, because all that
Lucy is, she's so naive coming out of the vault and then learns a hard lesson about, you know, the real world, basically, where she's using this very, like, HR speak, conflict resolution stuff. Mm-hmm. And then is, like, very quickly realizing, like, oh, damn, it's like kill or be killed out here. And even the scene where she gets her finger cut off, right? Because she cuts off the ghoul's finger at one point, and mm-hmm. then he's like, cuts her finger off. He's like, that's the closest we've had to a
honest exchange. You know,
even, yeah.
Yep.
I like that.
But, like, it's graphic, you know, you'll see a lot of gore and stuff, and then there'll be like a sight gag later. It's like, huh.
Yeah.
She'll be covered in blood for most of the jokes she makes, Mike.
Yeah, she's definitely a charisma character because she gets away with a lot of stuff by just charming people, right?
10 on charisma,
sure.
9 on intelligence, maybe 8. She does get tricked a couple times.
Yeah.
Perception low, that's good.
Maximus is like, can't read a room.
Yes.
Maximus is like low intelligence, low charisma, but high strength and endurance and perception or something.
And then agility and stuff for the ghoul for his aiming, and he has like the perception for the vats. You know, he's out here.
Main thing about being a squire, I just couldn't carry the equipment around. I would just get so tired.
Yeah. Like,
why not have the robot man carry the heavy thing?
Yes. Thank you.
You see kind of what a shitty society it is where you're like squiring for this fucking knight who's like an asshole to you, and then turns out he's Michael Rapaport, and then he dies, and you're like,
wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, crazy. Was shocked to see Michael Rapaport. I thought you were going to say, boy, another moment to shout out some incredibly unique writing. When Johnny Pemberton, the new young squire who comes in and he's hanging out with Maximus, and it's like, hey, so tell me, you know, my previous squire died. What do you think about that? And what is the young one's name? It's not Titus. Titus is the one who died. Who's the new one?
Thaddeus.
Oh, Thaddeus, thank you. So when Thaddeus is sitting there and he's like, well, the thing is, you know, we grew up in a hard way and everybody used to give me shit. Then we targeted this new guy. We started giving him shit.
Yeah.
I feel bad because he never found that new person to target, because that's kind of how the way is. What a mm-hmm. fucking thing to call out this fucking. I mean, yes, that is a unique society, but that's not a unique situation. Everybody's been the new person somewhere who kind of gets shit, and then you join in because you get shit to someone else. It's so interesting.
He's saying it to the person.
Yes.
And he doesn't even know. And that's what's – because basically, Norms, we should say, Maximus is a squire to a knight named Titus who dies in the field. Maximus takes over his identity, essentially, and takes mm-hmm. his power armor – gets a new squire called Thaddeus who thinks he's Titus. And Thaddeus, the Johnny Pemberton character, basically they all used to beat up Maximus because he needed someone else to divert because he was getting beat up before Maximus came along.
Which is super interesting, especially when he finds out and then their kind of dynamic changes. Eventually there's maybe some respect, but yeah, great writing.
But again, the way
asking him, because he wants to know, what did you think of me? Right. He's like sussing that out.
But the way Maximus handled a lot of this situation, I think, was just a low intelligence, because like you could have Titus died in the field. I didn't kill him or anything. He just died. And then I took over his power suit. Mm-hmm. But immediately,
what you want me to do? There was a mission to do. It's like, that's all you would have to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He could have, if he had a higher speech skill, let's say, he could have talked his way out of it better.
But I disagree with people who say it's bad writing, because it's good writing for a low intelligence character.
Yeah, it's not bad writing for sure. Yeah.
Some people have been complaining he makes dumb decisions. No, like that's on brand.
That's what makes the Maximus character interesting, is because he's not the smartest guy, but he's like doing the best he can, and he does make mistakes, but he's learning, like when he steals the power cell from the vault, and then she convinces him to not take it, and he's like, you're a good person, right? So he's learning.
That's just a big misunderstanding. They're gonna let her go. We're gonna give you 2 weeks of supplies for the desert. I really like that.
I thought
that
was gonna be an orgy. I didn't know what was gonna happen there. I was like, this is so strange.
That was wild. But that's kind of a show that every vault has its own thing going on. And Vault Co is behind a lot of this bad shit the whole time. And that's been in the games for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. So yeah, like I learned about like the power core. Thaddeus steals it from a suit, and then I'm playing the game, and I'm like, oh, I got to take the power core out when I get out of this, or someone's going to steal the whole suit. Like that's a real thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Like you got to take the battery with you, or they're going to steal your stuff. It's like, wow, they really did attention to detail for this. I got to what's the superstore called? I go to that Walmart. Oh, geez.
I've been playing New Vegas. So
hilarious. I love that Walmart survives into the apocalypse. That's important to me.
Super Duper Mart. They go to the Super Duper Mart. I just did that in Fallout 4. And I'm like, oh, that was from the show too. And like, I don't know. It's just, it was really cool to kind of get those references. So
yeah.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, there's just a ton of references. I mean, it's crazy. And there's a lot of, you know, guest stars that show up, some big names, right? I like when the robot shows up and it's Matt Berry from, you know, What We Do in the Shadows. And then we see his character in the flashback and you're like, oh man, he's like, I sold my voice rights to this fucking robot company or whatever.
I mean, they gave me a robot and I have to hear my voice asking me about anything.
I also do like, again, the shittiness of the corporatization of the world, that the Vault Tech guy to the cowboy's wife, who's wearing her Pip-Boy, says like, we found a way to integrate the Pip-Boy to the vault. So now those work seamlessly together. It's like, everything is just like, what a piece of shit everything fucking is.
Yeah.
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 That's the wasteland,
though. Capitalism.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Do we want to discuss kind of the final twist and where we leave things off for the end of this season? Because I'm hooked for season two. Like, yeah. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. So basically, you know, Lucy, she's searching for her dad, right? Her dad was kidnapped by this lady.
Moldiver.
In the beginning.
Moldiver. I'm looking for Moldiver.
Yeah. Where you get this twist where you think that she's getting married to this other person from another vault. They come in. Turns out it's a bunch of barbarians from the upper world, right? They start killing a bunch of people. They kidnap her dad. She's like, what the fuck? And that was a crazy episode too, where she's like, married this guy, they have sex, and then he's like, well, I gotta kill you now.
Cleans his junk off on the curtain real quick.
Like, hey, very bizarre. You guys want to hear like how easy it would be for me to abandon every ideal I have? I go down there with my band of savages. I marry a beautiful woman and we have sex. Guess what? I'm protecting her for the rest of my life. Like I will,
there was
I
like,
will
yeah, kill like,
every other savage. There's not a chance here? I give up on this life. Mm-hmm. No, there's not a chance now.
And that guy was like, just so you know, this is the best day of my life. But then he does start like attacking her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be like Maximus. Like, I've never had caviar before. This is great. I had a hot shower. Mm-hmm. I have caviar. I have
oysters. Penis exploded. It did that thing. It turned into a pimple and it exploded. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's great.
Yeah. Right?
True.
So Kyle MacLachlan gets kidnapped, right? So her mission is to find her dad.
Kind of negotiates her safety to him be taken instead, but we learn that was actually the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's this whole plot with Michael Emerson from Lost, right? His head has very important thing inside of it. Everyone's after the head. Eventually, by the end of it, she brings the head to Moldiver, and she learns the truth, right? And it turns out that they're at Griffith Observatory. It's the NCR headquarters. She's part of NCR, New California Republic. That's crazy.
Random raiders, right?
Yeah.
Pause for me real quick, Jacob, and sorry if this is spoilers for one of the ones Mike's playing, but so what? Who is the guy? Who is Michael Emerson creating the cold fusion? Who is he part of? That is not...
Well, he was from the Enclave. That's a different...
What is the Enclave?
Yeah, the Enclave is another faction. They were one of the main factions in Fallout 3. They're kind of like another... They're like a bunch of scientists and stuff. That like
the Institute?
Yeah,
kind of. Science nerds in the shadows.
But they're not the vault where the scientists led, because obviously that turns into the one with the Cyclops.
Right.
Yeah.
Because those were all scientists.
Right. No, he's from the Enclave, which is like a different society. We haven't really seen too much about them, but I'm thinking maybe we'll see more in season two.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But they were just trying to make cold fusion, and then he was just like, no.
Yeah, they have a lot of advanced technology compared to some of the other factions. But basically, the Enclave, NCR, Brotherhood of Steel, these are all different factions that exist in the games. And like every game, there's like a couple factions that you can side with in typical Bethesda style, right?
Mm-hmm. And they all wanted the cold fusion device. And that's why the Brotherhood, Maximus is like, I can tell you where to get it when he gives him a fake head, low intelligence move. He thinks that they're going to buy it. Of course they don't.
Right.
So to bail himself out, he leads him to where Lucy's actually.
And everyone wants like, that because it's, you know, whoever controls the energy controls the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Brotherhood of Steel wants it because it would unlimited power all their suits and their
flying. Brotherhood of Steel love the pre-war tech. They're trying to get as much as possible, and they're always fighting like NCR over different technology and stuff. The NCR are probably the closest thing to like a good faction in terms of like their only weakness really is that they're like overly bureaucratic. Kind of.
Well, Moldiver reveals they want it because she's like, well, we're just going to turn the lights on. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
And so they founded that city, Shady Sands, which when obviously their twist is that Kyle MacLachlan came and basically his wife escaped the vault because she found out the truth, took the kids, and like was going to live in Shady Sands. He comes and like destroys the whole city, basically, right? That's the big twist. And that's the city that Maximus is from as a kid. So we see the flashbacks of him coming out. He's like hides in a fridge, right? He comes out of the fridge and he sees a Brotherhood of Steel guy.
He crystal skulls it, Jacob. Yeah. He fucking, that's how that he was the only one who survives. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first thing he sees is a Brotherhood of Steel knight. So he joins the Brotherhood of Steel.
It's Mando. I mean, Mike called it out. It's the he's saved as a baby. The Mandalorian flies down in his, you know, Beskar armor and is like, come here, kid. Yeah, and flies away.
Yep.
Johnny Pemberton's Grogu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we find out Kyle MacLachlan, he's a bad guy, and Vault Tech is bad.
And so they want to withhold the cold fusion because they want to maintain control over, you know, their leverage and the vault dwellers, et cetera. So,
yeah. So everyone wants the power, right? Mm-hmm. So Moldaver, we find out maybe she's not so bad. She also existed pre-war, which I don't know how they didn't explain how she's still alive. Maybe she was frozen in a pod too or something.
Yeah. Or why you would choose this time to come out, but maybe she's been out for 10, you know, 20 years, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, we see that she apparently knew her Lucy's mom, right, in the flashbacks. And so Lucy's remembering, oh, yeah, I met you when I was a little girl. And so, yeah, Kyle MacLachlan, he's bad. He gets away. He steals the power armor. And I don't know if you guys understand the significance of this last shot. In the show, he's running away towards the skyline of New Vegas.
I did not know what that was. Okay.
That skyline, that last shot.
Okay.
No, that's Vegas. And then if you look at the credits of the episode, it pulls back and you see all the different signs, like the Topps Casino and stuff, and all the things that are in New Vegas. And I'm like, damn. So he's going to New Vegas in season 2. So I was like, how's that going to tie in?
So what does that mean? And so again, it's post that game. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
And what Maximus basically knocked out, Lucy's on the move with the ghoul, right?
Yes. Look, I'm very excited for this. Here's the unfortunate thing where Jacob's again, like, this is the best video game thing ever. Now you kind of have to compare it and say it is this trope that we've called out on a thousand things, but doesn't it kind of become The Last of Us, the grizzled cowboy male character has to team up with a girl to go on a quest where you're like, yes, okay, that is, I've seen it 5,000 times. I understand that's where you're headed now, but it's a pairing that I'm so into because I've loved these characters this whole first season.
And we see their journey over this first season where they get off sort of, they're at odds, you know, they get off on the wrong foot, but she's sort of learning that his, you know, his outlook on life through being in the wasteland and everything and becoming more, less naive.
It's not cynicism, it's intelligence, that he has a point of view of survivability that she needs to learn to embrace, right?
Yeah. And the timing of showing how the ghoul powers work and he needs Radaway, showing that he doesn't have it and he tries to get to that pharmacy and like, he barely makes it and turning the tables to where she now has a chance to help him, even though he's been a dick. Like, way to like depower him to give her a chance to do her own thing. Like, just smart writing, man.
It's yeah. Good.
Great.
Again, I love the way they show the feral ghouls and everything, where he goes to that one guy who's like, my name's Roger, right? Whatever his name
Roger.
Is.
Yeah, yeah. Roger.
And you see, like, that's something that the ghouls do so they don't forget their identity as they're turning. Like, my name is Jacob. My name is Jacob. I can't forget mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty dark stuff when you think about it.
But they can hibernate because obviously they had to wake up Walton Goggins to start. If you're going feral, you can just choose to like dig underground and just like go to sleep or something. Like,
I'm not really sure. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I guess he was hibernating.
IVs of maybe yeah. Radaway. Like, if you're a ghoul, do you just live forever if you have enough Radaway, is what I'm guessing.
Basically. Yeah, yeah.
Because he's lived for like 200
yeah,
years.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like, yeah, Kyle MacLachlan's headed towards New Vegas. And one other thing about New Vegas I wanted to mention. So another reference in the show. So the big plot, the overarching plot of New Vegas is that the New Vegas Strip, where the casinos are and stuff, is sort of controlled by this guy named Mr. House, who is this old rich guy who basically extended his life, through science, and was, you know, so he's lived for like 200 years. So in New Vegas, like, you side with different factions, whoever controls the Hoover Dam and takes control of the strip. So you can side with Mr. House as one of the, Mr. House is one of the people in that Vault-Tec meeting is a young Mr.
House. In the round table. That's interesting.
So that's another reference to New Vegas.
Interesting.
And we see him heading towards New Vegas at the end. So I'm interested to see how that ties in. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Jacob? Because I remember something you told me about that game. Is that Matthew Perry? Because I know Matthew Perry stars as the villain in that game, right?
Yes. He's the guy that shoots you in the head in the beginning of the game. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, interesting.
Could I be any more villainous?
Could I be Mr. House?
That's right. Because that's the big... But Mr. House in New Vegas is voiced by Rene Auberjonois, Odo.
Chandler. It's Rene Auberjonois.
No, Matthew Perry is the voice of Benny, who's the guy that the inciting incident of New Vegas is basically you play a courier who's carrying this platinum poker chip that has some secret technology in it. And the first thing that happens is you get shot in the head by Matthew Perry's character. But then you wake up because this doctor saved you. And your initial incident is you want to find this guy that shot you in the head, but then it leads into a bigger plot.
And you come across Rene Auberjonois. That's wild. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. And Mr. House has this robot army that he controls of these robots that that's how he's able to control the strip. But NCR and Caesar's Legion, all these different factions want control of the strip for themselves.
The Jem Hadar is the name of the army, Jacob? That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yep. Dang.
So yeah, right. I'm just excited for where this leads.
So you could choose to side with Mr. House. Some say House always wins.
Yeah.
But we got to determine which ending they decided is canon. But if Mr. House is around, theoretically, Kyle MacLachlan knows this and is like, I know him from the old Vault-Tec days. Let me go hook up with Mr. House.
Right.
He can protect me. And then that's maybe where we're at.
That's what I'm wondering.
That's a predictor.
Because, like, conversation down there. I know that he set up that, like, oh, I called the brain on the Roomba. And I don't know if you guys watch it with subtitles, but that thing is called Brain on the Roomba.
Nice.
But I would assume that he's like, hey, call everybody, you know, like, Dave, I need to know what's going on in Vegas.
Way more than what they're letting on.
They're all
able
to talk
about the workings of the upper world. But yeah, I'm interested to see how it ties in, because obviously there is different endings, and Shady Sands being destroyed in the show, people thought maybe that was invalidated certain things in New Vegas. I don't think it does, though. I think the way the timeline works, it makes sense, but it seems like the siding with the NCR is the canon ending for New Vegas, but I'm just guessing.
Right, right. But either way, it's like, it's inevitable, especially if Kyle MacLachlan's here and that Vault-Tec has a thing. His homie, Mr. House, hey man, this Shady Sands thing is really fucking with me. Can you like,
hey.
You know what I mean?
You can also kill Mr. House. Question.
Or that. You know, Mr. House is dead, we're going to revenge. There's a way you could write it in with whatever ending, but I'd be curious to see it. And I'm Maybe I'll have to install a running mod so I can actually play New Vegas before that time.
Look.
Yeah. I was going to say, it seems like we're running towards our final thoughts here. Mm-hmm. Before we get to that, let me ask you guys this, I guess mainly towards Jacob. Is there elements you want to see? So I know you're saying the New Vegas stuff. I know some fan favorite stuff, like the writers said that what's the skull thing with the horns? They said we're going to see like a death real claw. One of those, a death the claw death next claw,
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, we got to see more creatures, right? We saw the rad roaches. We saw something Gulper. That came out of the water. We have to see the death claws. We have to see the rad scorpions.
I
mean,
you saying robots is interesting. I'd like to see some robots, some mole rats. That's cool.
Some robots. Yeah, we saw the one robot, which is in the game too. The snip, snip.
But do they all just look like that? Is that just what they all look like?
It's a model.
That's one kind of robot. But there's other kind of robots.
It's kind of a Star Wars probe droid, right?
Yeah.
There's like more automaton style robots too. I think that's what Mr. House
has. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, there's like his Securitrons, which are like these guys that roll around on a wheel type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. But I'll tell you what, in the final thoughts, I'll give you my recommendations for which Fallout games you should play.
And I'll give you my recommendations for which ones to know. I won't do that. The only thing I want to see in a new season that I'm not sure if they're going to put, I want to see people arranging furniture at an abandoned drive-in movie theater for 7 episodes straight. Putting up little chairs, building a fence.
Making it.
So you've been playing, like you said, you've been playing Fallout 4 this weekend. And this is a big thing that this show is causing a lot of people to want to play the Fallout games. And Fallout 4, the player count on Steam was approaching the number of people playing Helldivers 2 this weekend. So it's been a big thing. And this is crazy that Bethesda did not capitalize on this, because Fallout 5, hypothetically, is so far off. They're like, that's after we make the next Elder Scrolls game, we're going to make Fallout 5. Well, it's like, when are you making the next Elder Scrolls game?
It's not going to be
2020.
There will be a real Fallout by that point.
We'll have four seasons of this and a real Fallout. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. So they're missing all this. And Steam did put the Fallout games on sale when this came out, the show and everything, which was smart. But people,
I saw a Twitch post said we're partying like it's 2016 out here. That's how many people were fucking playing Fallout 4. I saw those big numbers. That's very
They're going
cool
back to 4. They're going back to New Vegas. They're going to 76, which had a huge player count rise, where it's like only the hardcore people were still playing 76 before this, right? And now it's like all these new
players.
You're
the only ones in the game. If you
walk
around, you can only find 4 other people. Yeah, I guess you are the only one who's playing that shit. Jesus.
True.
But so a lot of people have been trying that out. But you've been on 4, and I wanted to ask you, so you've been doing the settlement building, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you've been doing the drive-in theater, which I thought was interesting, because the first settlement that you find called Sanctuary, right, which is right by that gas station, that was the one that when I was playing, really built that one.
That's the one they want you to mess with,
Well, there's a million.
You choose your hotel.
That's the one the story puts you in as your, like, tutorial base,
Basically, as you play the game, you'll find more and more of these settlements, and you have to give them beds and electricity and all this stuff, so more people will come. And like, basically you're working for these guys called the Minutemen, which is another faction that hasn't been introduced in the show yet. And they're trying to repopulate the area, right? So they're providing all these settlements.
Well, not in that way.
I like that. That's great. Jamie,
that's why they're called Minutemen.
Parking lot's cooler than a drive-in theater. I'm with Mike on this. What are you talking about, dog?
They got a cul-de-sac. It's like a suburban.
Well, Sanctuary, that's like the first one you see. And so I started like improving that one. And then I realized there's like a bunch of these spots. So you have to go around to each one if you want to. But I just spent a lot of time on this one, making it look really nice. I built these houses out of like different wall pieces and stuff, put a bunch of beds in there. I put defenses down so people couldn't attack it. And like, it's crazy. You get electricity, all this stuff.
Yeah, I thought I was going to hate that part. But I love it.
Yeah. And that's something that they, started with Skyrim, where you can make your own house, like your own manor in Skyrim, which was a DLC. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, we're going to add building into Fallout 4. And then 76 is greatly expanded, because you can just like build anywhere. That's like the big selling point of 76. Yeah. Now Starfield, which, like ship. I said, is a lot like Fallout 4 in space. You can build your own bases and stuff.
Is Mike going to get Starfield? Interesting. No, I'm scared, interesting. Yeah.
I would stick to Fallout 4 for now.
Fair. Oh, I have plenty of time on it, but I like the drive-in movie theater because I like a drive-in movie theater. There's something novel about just building a little village in a drive-in theater parking lot with a little projector room and stuff. It's neat.
That would be my Fred Armisen DJ role in the future, Mike. I'd be like the maniac in like scrap clothing who's like, I'm here to tear your ticket. Are you here for the drive-in movie? And they'd be like, nothing is playing. Yeah. This guy's insane.
I want to fix the projector. I don't think you can, but I would love to have like a little dumb reel playing anyway.
Listen, there was a drive-in movie theater in New Vegas too.
There was a drive-in movie theater in Cyberpunk, and that was one of my favorite side missions too. So
that is, a classic. Yeah.
But all this to say, they might not have capitalized, but according to Bethesda, April 25th, Fallout 4 is getting like a next-gen update for free. So they are going to put some stuff in it. So Fallout 4 will be updated.
Who knows what that means? But that just... frame rates, like what, like
frame rate stability,
so, yeah, graphics.
I'm playing vanilla. It has long loading times still, even with like a supercomputer. So who knows what they're going to do? But they're doing something.
Mike, you did share the funniest video when you said, "I'm working on getting the frame rate right for this new Vegas." Yeah. You're like, it's going at 3,000 at the moment. It was like the craziest.
You're moving
video
at the speed of the frame rate. I'm like, I said, insane. How do these get released? Yeah. Anyway,
I didn't know what you were doing with four. I never had
Jacob's number one video game draft pick. Buggy, you need to do mods to run. Fallout New Vegas, number one pick.
All right, well, on the other side of this, tell us how mad you are.
Yes, I will. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeedy. Give me the simple life.
We're back, giving our final thoughts here on Fallout, the new series on Amazon Prime.
That's right.
We're going to finish Jacob's rant here because, Jacob, tell us which one of these games we should be playing.
I'm going to be, I'm going to be an elitist. I'm going to be a New Vegas purist and say, hot take, New Vegas is still the best Fallout game. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. A lot of people have that opinion. There's, four has its defenders, three has its defenders, 76 I don't think has any defenders, but it is greatly improved, like I said. Yeah.
What does Obsidian make now? What do they do?
Well, they make, recently they made The Outer Worlds, which is a very Fallout-esque RPG.
It's kind of their version of Starfield.
Yeah. A little bit smaller in scope, but it's a space RPG where capitalism is a big theme. But they're really good at writing these RPGs where you have a lot of player choice. And I think that's what they kind of specialize in.
Pillars of Eternity.
Pillars of Eternity and Pillars of Eternity 2. Basically, the guy who made the director of New Vegas was this guy named Josh Sawyer, who I'm a really big fan of as like a game director. He also made this game recently called Pentanits. Have you heard of that game? Pentanits. Big fan of Josh Sawyer, so I guess I'll just shout that out. But
that's the Fallout game you should play.
Well, it's not really a Fallout game, but
I know.
I won't go into that now. But New Vegas. First of all, if you can get past the movement speed, which I don't think is a big deal, but I guess if it's a deal breaker to you, you just got to get over it.
You walk a lot.
I don't know. Maybe you have to get used to it, but for me, it's not really, it doesn't really bother me. I was playing all day Sunday. I was trekking across the Mojave. I had spurs that were jingle, jangle, jingling. it was a great time. I was listening to Mr. New Vegas on the radio.
And the old Hoover Dam.
That's right. And I think, you're playing a game, a 15-year-old game, it's not going to have all the modern conveniences that you Gen Zers out there, are used to.
There's a lot of games from 15 years ago I can run in.
You can run, okay. I don't understand.
You can sprint. That you can sprint. Sorry, yeah.
You don't need to sprint. Okay, you can go fast enough.
Halo. I can sprint Halo too.
Mm-hmm. Call of Duty.
More than 15 years ago.
Look, it's like you're playing Demon Souls and you're expecting it to run like, you know, Elden Ring.
You can sprint in Demon
Souls.
That's
a good analogy.
But that's like an action. That's an action game. It's a different kind of game. This the emphasis is on storytelling, writing. Look, Fallout 3, it doesn't have aim down sights, okay? You can't, when you zoom in to aim, it just zooms your screen in a little bit. So they added aiming down sights for New Vegas. So just be thankful they have that, okay?
We're getting better.
Can we just say, I'm with you with New Vegas. Everyone says the narrative is the best, and I do want to experience it. I think the idea of post-apocalyptic Las Vegas, as seen in Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, is a great idea when done correctly. I want to explore that. That sounds cool, like, objectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting stuck on the tutorial mission where you go shoot some geckos. You can just skip that. You don't even have to do that. That just teaches you how to shoot at stuff.
You're right. I'll give it another try when 100 hours past 4. The only thing I would say for 4, I'm sure the story is worse. From someone who knows nothing, it feels like I'm in the universe of the show. I don't know if New Vegas feels that way, but
I think all the games feel very much.
Fair. Okay.
All the games have that feel, I think.
4 is California?
No, 4 is actually
4 is Boston.
4 is Boston.
3 is DC.
The tea parties or whatever they're
called. The Commonwealth.
The Minutemen.
The Minutemen, thank you.
Yeah. 3 is the DC area. New Vegas is Nevada, obviously.
3 is the DC area? Do you just walk
Capital
through the
Wasteland.
Fucking... Yeah, but Capital do you like walk Wasteland. Through the White House? Like fucking, you know, just like...
I don't know, maybe.
Monument rumbled up. Whatever. Crazy.
And then 4 is Boston, and then 76 is like West Virginia. So a lot of them are East Coast. That's why I think New Vegas has sort of the most tie-ins to the show, because it's West Coast based.
Yeah, that's cool. True.
Which the original Fallout 1 and 2 were more West Coast as well. And I've also played, so Fallout was originally a spiritual sequel to a game called Wasteland, which came out in 1988, a very early game. And they eventually made Wasteland 2 and 3 in the 2010s. And I've played both those games. And those are top-down RPGs with turn-based combat and that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's sort of like a weird parallel universe to Fallout where you play as a ranger and you go around and you do stuff. So I'm well-versed in the post-apocalyptic RPGs, you could say.
The Wasteland.
Mad Max the game is the best Fallout game with the cars.
Yeah, I've played the Mad Max game too. So
really?
yeah, that's a fun game. But anyway... I would say, look, give New Vegas a try. It's very buggy. It crashes a lot. It's got its problems. But again, it's from 2010. It had an 18-month development cycle. It was made very, very quickly. It has a lot of problems. It needs a remaster or a remake. Not even a remaster, really, because it needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. But if you had better graphics and gameplay with New Vegas storyline, I think it would be a huge seller. And look at, like... You know, look at Final Fantasy VII, Rebirth, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. People love it. So,
yeah,
where's the Fallout New Vegas remake? You know what I'm saying? Come on, Bethesda.
And I'm joking about the running. You know, we're kind of having fun here. But like, despite the bugginess and the issues, like, it is still considered like one of the best RPG experiences. Like, it's still highly acclaimed, is what I'm saying. It rises above that stuff that we're kind of poking fun at.
I think you're just spoiled by modern conveniences. But here's the thing. Play Fallout 4 if you want the more shooter elements. I mean, New Vegas has that too, but it's just not as good. The other thing with New Vegas, you can mod it to varying degrees of success. Sometimes that'll break your game worse, but you can add a sprint mod, which was what I, you know, with my last playthrough on Steam, I added a bunch of mods and stuff, and that was pretty fun. But I've been doing a vanilla playthrough this whole weekend, and I've been enjoying it. And I just, you know, the other thing is, here's the thing. There's no sprint, but there's an auto run button. You just hit Q and you just auto run. So I don't even have to hold down the run button manually. And I just steer with my mouse. I'm watching NBA playoffs on my second screen. I'm having a great time.
I'm running the race,
on controller.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a button. There's not a run button.
Click the
button.
I'm an old school PC boy, so I like to use mouse and keyboard for the Fallout games.
I have carpal tunnel. No,
yeah,
that's fine. My hot take, I'm going to play New Vegas at some point because I am a Fallout boy now. I'm in a jumpsuit. Has Bethesda ever made an actually good game? Because that's Obsidian. Has Bethesda made an actually good, not broken game?
Did Bethesda do Skyrim? Yeah, I mean, Skyrim.
And Oblivion. Yeah, but that's it.
But see, you're like, if you played Morrowind today, you'd be like, man, these graphics look terrible, right? But
I'm not saying that. It's just, it wasn't complete. It was supposed to be an MMO and it's empty.
Morrowind? Anyway. Or you're thinking of Daggerfall, I think.
I don't think so. Anyway, I'm getting in the weeds.
Morrowind is like considered.
Daggerfall was like the one where you had like no map. You just walked. Yeah,
Daggerfall was a very early open world concept where it was
you just get lost. It was insane.
But it used procedurally generated open world, which for the time was very new. Morrowind is considered like the New Vegas of Elder Scrolls in that it's like the best storyline, but has a lot of. It's a very old game.
A little bit of friction.
Oblivion. I liked Oblivion okay.
I like Oblivion.
You like Oblivion?
Patrick Stewart.
Again, it's a very old game. Doesn't quite live up. Like, the combat and stuff isn't great. Right. But New Vegas. I'm a purist. You know, I think it's the best Fallout game. I like Fallout 4. If you're more of a normie, you should start with that one, I think. Like, Mike.
I'm a 3 purist. I've never played it. I'm going to watch a clip of Liam Neeson talking the second I get off of this.
3 is probably my least favorite, at least of those 3, because of 3, New Vegas, and 4. I think it's the worst one. It has the same like engine as New Vegas, so it looks and plays the same as New Vegas, except worse, and it has a worse storyline and a worse location, environment, and everything. So I recommend that one the least. I say start with 4 to like get an intro into the world. If you enjoy that, but you want a really good RPG story, and I could go on for like an hour about why the progression of the story is so good in New Vegas, but there's videos on YouTube that you can watch about it that could do a better job in explaining.
Robotrons we can check in with.
Right. Yeah. So I say start with 4. Then if you really like that, jump into New Vegas. Forgive the movement speed if you can. Just get used to it. You'll be fine. You can fast travel too. Jump into that. Then try 3. I would go backwards from 4 basically. And then try New Vegas if you really want to, if you really are really into it. You know,
really about it.
Yeah.
I'm playing vanilla 4, no mods. And it, besides that frame rate thing, it hasn't crashed. Like, it's running well, so I don't know if they've made stability updates over the years and we're getting a new update, but it's been a pretty decent user experience completely vanilla, so I don't know.
4? Yeah, I like 4. Like, don't get me wrong. I've played like 100 hours of it.
If I've never had a pizza, right? And like maybe pepperoni's better. It's going to be pretty good even with cheese, right?
I kind of like this. Shout out to Joe. He's been liking 4, right? Wasn't he saying he was playing him?
Yep.
Yeah, but look, you know, I'm on the side of the purist, you know, New Vegas for life. 4's got some good gunplay, though. I don't like the main storyline. Oh, you got to go find my baby or whatever. Who gives a fuck? You know what I'm saying? Hey, let that baby die.
Hey, what's the difference between that and your dad?
Right.
That's
your dad's 3. Just a big baby.
That's right.
Bethesda doesn't understand what makes Fallout. And I think Obsidian did. And that's why Bethesda, they've always had a weird relationship with New Vegas where they don't want to admit that it's the best one. So they like kind of hide it. And that's why people thought they were trying to retcon it in this show, but I don't think they are, but they are very like
to be overly sensitive to it though. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, Todd Howard's like, oh, everyone likes New Vegas. We didn't, you know, nobody likes our games. And also
I didn't make that
like Starfield.
Shut up about it. Yeah.
And we only gave him 18 months to do it.
You thought Starfield was going to be like the new Skyrim, basically, where everyone's going to be playing it for a decade, and then it flopped big time.
Even the modders can't fix it. They're like, sorry, dog. Like, yeah. The people you rely on most, Bethesda modders, even they're like, sorry, dude, I just can't help you.
I could go on about all the problems that Starfield had, too, but I still enjoy it as like a chill game where I can fly around, loot some points of interest, and you know, put way too much in my inventory, and then I have to dump out a bunch because I'm overweight, just like in every Fallout game. It's a great time.
Well, suffice to say, this whole spirited conversation has come out of the Amazon TV show, which I think we all like a lot. Colin's at 4 stars. I'm maybe 4.5. Jacob, where are your stars at?
I mean, here's the thing. I think it's the most successful video game adaptation of all time, in that it's the most successful at adapting the source material, mm-hmm. but making an original story in the world of the games. And I don't think that's ever been done before. So I think that kind of blows my mind that they were so successful. So I'll say 4.5. Yeah. I had some minor nitpicks about some of the pacing. Like I said, the vault scenes, I thought the pacing drags a little bit because they had to keep cutting back. And this whole mystery with the brother character was definitely my least favorite part of it. But I don't think it was bad necessarily. And I understand why it's there. But as a hardcore fan, it was less interesting to me. But I think the show works for the hardcore fans. It works for the newbies. It works for everybody. So I would recommend it. Yeah, 4.5 stars.
I've never seen game elements translated to the screen in such a way when Thaddeus shoots a full clip at him and misses every shot. And they're just like, it's like that happens to me all the time with the bats. I'm trying to hit the head and it just miss. And I'm like, fuck, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mike, when you're in Fallout, when you're playing Fallout 4, are you looting you're picking up every single duct tape and piece of junk off the ground so you can mod your guns and stuff?
I haven't done the modding of the guns, but once I figured out how much ceramic and copper I need to make light bulbs and toilets for my little houses.
Oh yeah. You need so much scrap.
Mike, yeah. I'm proud of you. You're like the mayor. That's great.
I got to work on it some more, but I want to give you guys a tour, a secret tour.
Oh, I'm excited.
Like I'm that proud of it. Like a Minecraft tour.
I've done some tours of bases friends have built in my life, so I'm well equipped to do that.
And that's the thing, like, I love that
out of larger rooms.
It's your favorite thing in video games, the fact that you're like, no, not that one.
it's still a good game. I just wish it had a better main storyline. And better factions, because the factions
Jacob, so let me give my final thoughts on the TV show then, to say that I think I feel how you feel about 4 about this show, where I'm like, storyline was whatever. Like, I'm not super impressed by that. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun or whatever. What I like about this show is the vibes. I think it captures the game. I like seeing the practical stuff. The fucking Easter eggs don't work on me because I'm not aware of it, but the osmosis that occurs when, even as a new viewer, where you're like, well, this seems like there's so much tender care. Like, they wouldn't focus on this if it didn't matter, or if they weren't paying homage to something, or if they weren't just including something cool. Like, that's kind of the buzz I get off of this show. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with the vibes really make the show. And that's the same vibes that I feel when I'm playing New Vegas and I'm just going across the Mojave Wasteland listening to my radio. And like, they nailed the tone of it. They nailed the aesthetics. And again, just the amount of references, like the UIs of the Pip-Boys, the sound effects that it makes when you switch screens, like every little detail, the needle drops,
the hacking,
Yeah. When they pull up the password thing on the computer and it's like the exact password mini game that you have to play when you hack a computer, I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
Well, I guess we're getting to the point where, I think we mentioned this before, the people making this stuff are finally the people who played this stuff. Like, they're in a positions of power in the industry where they can actually be like, stop fucking around, give the fans what they want. I'm a fan. And I think that's really,
And what's interesting is this show was kind of marketed as like Jonathan Nolan was saying, like, yeah, we're fans of the game, but we also want to tell our own original story. So they were kind of pitching it as like the way The Witcher and Halo did it. But it ends up working out that it is an original story, but it fits in the universe. And they didn't do anything to change the world in a drastic way that would like piss off hardcore fans. So I think that's something that it has going for it.
I mean, when I saw the medical stuff on the wall in the game, I'm like, oh shit. And like, the way she gets stabbed and then stim packs herself, and it's like, we don't need to explain why she healed. It's just what they do. That's what they do here, right? No bullshit, convoluted. That's what stim packs just work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So, insane attention to detail in terms of the lore and the world, and just a really good show, I think. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
You,
you shouting out a boy and his dog and Mad Max as much as we have, Jacob.
Yeah.
It's making me realize, and Mike, I think you do know this, but that you don't know what's coming up for you in about a month and a half, that what we've got going with our long-term franchise, you're really going to be, you're going to be getting some Fallout fun is all I'm going to hint at you.
So, oh, yeah. Sure.
We're going to see more of this, my man.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah. We may end up in the far future and desert in more ways than one as well coming up.
And so hopefully
stay tuned, dear viewer.
Yeah, some true monkeys too, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
The
right.
Only thing factions. That would have made the Fallout universe better, yes.
Bro,
human those talking monkeys.
That should have been Caesar's freaking army.
Caesar's Legion.
Caesar's Legion could have been the Planet of the Apes, guys.
Caesar is home.
Yeah. Ape shall never kill ape. Anyway.
Why Cookie Rocket, Caesar?
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, this has been great. I really like the show. And again, I'm a fan of the games now, and I'm going to continue building little houses in a drive-through theater.
That's good.
For many more days.
Yeah, I mean, you were sharing your New Vegas opinions in our chat the other day, and I was getting a little steamed about it, but I accept
you threw your phone.
Every gamer is different and likes different things, and I like that you're getting into Fallout 4, and that's acceptable to me. So
I'll maybe get around to it, but I did my blessing. Look at it. I looked at a list of most essential mods for New Vegas, and I spent like an hour and a half installing them all with the game to have the best experience. And then even after that, good graphics, I'm still walking slow. I was like, what have I done? I was shook.
You probably didn't do the mods right.
I didn't have the sprint mod. No, it worked, but I didn't have the sprint one. I had already uninstalled the game at that point out of rage. So I'll get back to it. Get back to it because I do want to experience that story in Vegas, and the apocalypse seems cool. So I'll roll the dice, as it were, at some point. Yeah.
Well, and with where the show's heading, it's so interesting. How could you not have your eye towards Vegas?
I want to be in the know when the next season comes out, right? I want to get the Easter eggs this time as I'm watching instead of after the fact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, if only fucking Rene Auberjonois was still alive. That fucking sucks. Or is Mr. House, he's probably not still alive depends or whatever, I guess. I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it depends on your ending.
Yeah. But still would have been sick to have Rene Auberjonois, leader of New
Would Orleans. Have been great.
Yeah. R.I.P. Anyways, right. Yeah. Fallout.
Fallout. Mike's good sipping show. From a Nuka-Cola right now. We've got all of our bottle caps. We're putting them away. We didn't have to sell any teeth on this episode, and we're happy about that. We didn't have to take any rad away. We didn't step on any rad roaches. I saw a thing, mutants, like super mutants are super a type mutants. Of people.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to see those, Jacob?
Sure.
Yeah, super
can
mutants
you? Are they like, they're like the Hulk? I mean, they're like big?
Yeah, they're like these big, big super mutant guys.
Low intelligence.
That might be hard.
Yeah. Hmm. They reference them in the show, so I'm sure we'll see them eventually, too.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, we're looking forward to the future in the year 2000. What is it? 225 or something?
Or something like that.
Jeez.
Yeah, 2277.
And we're hoping no nukes are dropping on us now. If you are down in your vault and you want to write to us to say, hey, I loved Fallout, or here's the weird experiment that's happening in our vault, you can do that at normies_like_us on all social media. Rate, review, subscribe helps us out there too. Hit us up on YouTube.
Tell me why I'm wrong about New Vegas, please.
Yeah, please.
Critique the running speed.
Fellow New Vegas snobs.
Rise up.
Sound off in the comments. No, I think, every Fallout game is legitimate. However you want to play the game. It's not for everyone, but it's one of my favorite games of all time. So.
Now, I looked up the speed run world record for Fallout New Vegas, and it said does not exist. Impossible.
Yeah.
Really? Because there's no running.
I guess.
No, I mean, can you?
I'm
can
sure glitch, there's a speed
I bet run. You could glitch it in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Sure. It's job. Good.
All right.
All right. We've been your hosts. This is Ghoul Colin.
Mike McLean sneaking around.
This is Brother Jacob of the Brotherhood of Steel. Knight Jacob.
Hey, now clean this.
Paladin Jacob. That's a.
Paladin Jacob.
It's interesting to use the knight term instead of paladin because they. I feel like a lot of the Brotherhood of Steel characters in the games are called Paladin something. So
cleric. Anyways. Is cleric.
Cleric, yeah.
any percent New Vegas real time 10 minutes in game 8 minutes.
There you go. Without even a sprint mod.
That's in fucking impossible. There's no
way. It's Glitch City, but luckily the game has plenty of them for you to exploit right out the gate.
Yeah, no kidding. All right.
Enough of that. Yep. I'll play it.
All right, normies.
Good luck out there in the wasteland. Bye.
Don't go mad. Don't set the world on fire. We'll catch you next time.
My name is Gandalf the Grey, and I'm imploring you to leave a like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Don't keep it secret. Don't keep it safe. Don't take me as a conjurer of cheap tricks, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Normies Like Us. Fly, you fools!